If you'll turn with me now in the scriptures to 2 Corinthians, I will be reading from the Pew Bible, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Now the heading for this passage is Paul's vision and his thorn. Listen, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the early 1900s, there was a young man from Norway whose name I wouldn't begin to be able to pronounce, so I'm going to call him Clarence. So Clarence took his girlfriend on a summer outing. They took a picnic lunch out to a picturesque island in the middle of a small lake. Now you had to remember that the dress code in the early 1900s was a lot different than the dress code of today. They went out on this picnic, and she wore a long dress with about a dozen petticoats. And he was dressed in a suit with a high collar. Clarence rowed them out to this island in the middle of this lake. He dragged the boat up onto the shore. They walked up underneath a shade tree He spread the picnic lunch under the tree. So hypnotized was he by her beauty that he hardly noticed the sun and the perspiration on his brow. Softly, she whispered to him, "Clarence, you forgot the ice cream." He goes back to the boat. He rows back across the lake to the shore. He gets out. He finds a grocery store. He finds the ice cream, comes back to the boat, paddles the boat back to the island, pulls the boat up onto the shore, walks up to his girlfriend where the picnic provisions are all spread out. And she looked at him, batted her long eyelashes over deep blue eyes, and said, "Clarence, you forgot the chocolate syrup." So Clarence goes back to the boat. He paddles across the lake. He goes to the shore. He gets out. He goes to the grocery store. It's hot. And he gets back to the boat, and he paddles. And about halfway back to the island, he stops. He starts thinking. And he spent most of the afternoon fascinated with an idea. And by the end of that afternoon, Clarence Evinrude had designed an outboard motor for his boat. Now, Clarence Evinrude, who invented the outboard motor, illustrates, I think, a basic principle of Christian living. When life delivers a problem or a pain, force it to pay dividends. If life gives you a thorn, make it produce a rose. Now, in chapter 12 of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he illustrates this truth in his own life. In verse 7, if you want to look at it, he tells us, "A thorn was given me." What was the thorn? We don't know. Perhaps it was some painful, chronic affliction, and Paul was disabled by it. And the best guesses are that the thorn was epilepsy or migraine headaches, or a malaria fever common in the Eastern Mediterranean world. We don't know. He calls this thorn, as the scriptures tell us, a messenger of Satan. Now, the Bible teaches that all diseases and death came into the world because of sin. God's perfect original creation did not include disease or death. People do not get sick and die because God wills it. He allows it. People get sick and die because the world is flawed by sin. And in this flawed world, this flawed universe, thorns are distributed to us as one would be dealt a hand of cards, to the just and the unjust alike. Now, thorn in the flesh in modern terminology might be called a pain in the neck, a pain somewhere else in the body. A thorn is whatever causes you pain or frustration or sadness. Thorns come in all shapes and sizes: migraine, headaches, bad backs, arthritis, depression, an impossible boss, and on and on. And thorns can vary in length and severity. Most of us have at least one at any given time. Do you know what your thorn is? We all have them. Now notice in verse 8 from our scripture what Paul did with his thorn. Three times I besought the Lord about this. Paul prayed on three different occasions that his thorn might be removed, but God did not. And where does it say in the Bible that our prayers will always be answered affirmatively? Jesus himself prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane that he be spared the agony of the cross. But God's answer was no. And Jesus accepted it. Country music a lot of times tells stories. Garth Brooks told a story in one of his songs. The story is told about a young man and his wife who returned to his high school 10th reunion. And there he encountered his old high school flame. And right away he noticed that her current appearance did not compare well with his memories of her. The years had been tough on her. And he clutched his wife's hand a little tighter. He was so happy that he had ended up with her instead of the old flame. But he remembered many occasions 10 years earlier when he had prayed earnestly, "Lord, I ask only one thing of you, help me to win the heart of this girl." And then comes the refrain from that country song. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Some prayers do not receive positive responses because God, in his wisdom, knows that something else is better for us. But what about our prayers for sick people? We know that God desires healing of illness. Why are some prayers for healing answered while others are not? I pray for healing for sick people all the time, and I guess you do too. I hope you do, that we join in our prayers for people who are ill. And I believe that those prayers are always answered because I believe that God answers our prayers for healing in three different ways. Now, the first and the most common means of healing is through regular medical channels that God has given to us. You see, penicillin is a gift of God. Bypass surgery is a gift of God. And a second way that I believe that God's healing is beyond our understanding, we call those cases of healing miracles. Miracles do happen. And I dare say that most any doctor can tell you that they have witnessed the healing of someone that was beyond the medical means that they used. It had to be a miracle. But there's a third way I believe that God heals. It's a healing that will be experienced by all Christians. And I refer to the healing that we will receive on our way to heaven. Because I believe that most of us will die because of some illness. And if we have claimed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, he is going to heal us completely between earth and heaven. Now the question is, why does God heal one person through medical channels? Why does he heal another person by way of a miracle? Why does he heal someone else on their way from earth to heaven? We don't know. That's all in the wisdom and providence and sovereignty of God. Only when we get to heaven will that mystery be understood. Now, despite Paul's thorn in the flesh, he had a powerful ministry. He was the world's greatest missionary, and he referred to him and to us as more than conquerors. What was his secret? He tells us in verse 9. It's one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture. It's a verse that we need to keep foremost in our minds. It is a verse that we need to memorize. It is a promise from God to Paul and from Paul to us. My grace is sufficient for you. Or as it is translated in the New English Bible, my grace is all you need. In other words, God seems to be saying to Paul, trust me, Paul, I'm going to take care of you. I can use your weakness to demonstrate my power. And then Paul made a great and wonderful discovery. He discovered that God could use his weaknesses just as God could use his strengths. And instead of slowing Paul down or limiting his ability to lead the early church, the thorn in the flesh saved him from spiritual pride. And this helped him to advance the cause of the gospel. And we can learn from Paul's experience. Paul learned to accept his thorn. He even began to boast about his weakness in order to show the power of Jesus Christ. And I can just hear Paul boasting to his followers. He tells them, look at me, friends. I have to battle this humiliating affliction, this thorn in the flesh. But yet Jesus has used me, helped me to plant churches in all parts of this known world. Now we have to remember, Paul was a man of great intellect. He was a man of unquestionable persuasive powers. And perhaps, if it had not been for the thorn in the flesh, he would have leaned upon his own ability and not upon God working through him. And if he had leaned only on his own ability and not upon God, we probably would never have heard the name of Paul. His weakness became his strength. His scar became a star. His hurt became a halo. His thorn became a rose. Now, our weakness can become our strength as well. God's power will be given to us in sufficient quantities to handle anything that we have to face. And that grace enables us not only to cope with a thorn, but also to bring some good out of it. Like Paul, we can take our thorn and turn it into a rose. Morris F. Udall, former Secretary of the Interior and a United States Senator, lost an eye in an accident when he was 6 years old. And children, as children are so often, they teased him cruelly about his lost eye. And in self-defense, Morris Udall started poking fun at himself. And eventually, that kind of humor became part of his personality. He learned early on to compensate for that lost eye by working harder than the other kids. In his junior and senior years in high school, he was editor of the yearbook. He was quarterback of the football team, and he led the team in scoring in basketball. He had his own dance band. He wrote a political column in the weekly newspaper. And later, he became a national leader. And he traced part of his success back to that lost eye. That lost eye could have been an excuse for failure. But instead, he made it a challenge to excellence. His thorn produced a rose. Friends, all of us have thorns. A thorn is whatever causes you pain or frustration or sadness. It can take all kind of forms. All of us will experience thorns. And those who experience life abundant are not people without thorns. They are people of faith and courage who live by this code. If life gives me a thorn, if life gives me a frustration, if life gives me a sadness, whatever that frustration is going to be, I will learn to accept it. And I'm going to make every thorn produce a rose because I believe in the promise of God through Paul that his grace is going to be sufficient for whatever we have to face. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the words, the teachings of the Apostle Paul. We're grateful for this message that your grace is sufficient for whatever we have to face. And we thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.